lasted about 10 minutes. When it was over, I looked over at Justin, who was just staring at me. Had he been watching the movie, or was he watching me watching the movie? Did he know I was aroused by it? In any case, he didn't make any snide remarks, and he certainly wasn't laughing at me. When he finally spoke up, his voice sounded strained when he whispered in my ear, "You want to stay?" "No, we should go."
"Okay."
When I started to get up, he put his hand on my arm to stop me.
"I need a minute."
"Why?" He just stared at me like I should have known why. I figured it out. "Oh." I didn't know what turned me on more, watching that scene or knowing that Justin was hard from it. It was all too much for me. He closed his eyes for about a minute, then looked over at me.
"It's not going down."
"Staying in here isn't going to help."
"Probably not."
"Let's just go."
I didn't mean to laugh, but it was pretty funny.
We both got up and exited the theater. I tried really hard not to look down, but my eyes betrayed me as they wandered to the bulge straining through his jeans. Dirty thoughts flooded my mind. I wished things were different, because I could think of a million ways I could help him take care of it. The ride back to Newport was quiet. The sexual tension in the air was thick. My nipples had turned to steel, and my panties were soaked, knowing that he was probably still hard. It occurred to me that certain situations could be even more arousing than sex itself. Those situations where you wanted something so badly, but couldn't have it. My body was experiencing an impossible state of arousal. We pulled up to the house. When he shut off the ignition, he leaned his head back against the seat and turned to me, looking as if he wanted to say something, but couldn't find the words. Breaking the ice, I said, "Thank you for attempting to make my night better."
"Attempt is the operative word. It was an epic fail."
"No, it wasn't."
"It wasn't?"
"I accidentally took you to see a porno and got a boner in the process. What the fuck, am I 15? I was turned on, too. It's just not as obvious.
"I know. I could tell. That was what..."
He hesitated and shook his head.
"Never mind."
"Well, anyway, it was still better than the date with Dr. Danger."
"I can't believe that asshole. I should go to the hospital and beat the fuck out of him tomorrow."
"He's not worth it." I glanced out the window. "Anyway, we should go inside."
"Yeah."
Back inside the house, we lingered in the kitchen. I wasn't ready to go to sleep, even though it was well past 1 in the morning. Neither of us budged. "Jesus, it's so late, but I'm not tired at all," I said.
"If I make some coffee fusion, will you have some?"
"Yeah, I'd love some," I smiled. I watched his every move as he prepared the coffee. "I love you." God, the thought had just come out of the blue from my subconscious mind. From time to time, those three words would just play in my head when I was with him. I did love him, just as much as I always had. But I needed to control these feelings, otherwise I would be setting myself up for major disappointment. His back was to me when he said,
"Jade is coming back in a few days."
My heart sank. "Really? Are you going back to New York with her?"
"No.
After she leaves, I'll stay an extra few days to fulfill my promise to Salvatore."
"Oh."
He placed a steaming hot mug in front of me.
"Here you go."
"Thank you." Over the past 48 hours, it seemed that something between us had shifted. Maybe his change in attitude was a result of the impending end of summer. Sipping the coffee, I said,
I don't think either one of us will be going to sleep anytime soon after this.
Might as well just stay up.
Over the next 2 hours, Justin and I just talked, opening up about the things that we'd missed in each other's lives. I found out that before he moved to New York, he'd actually completed a semester at Berklee College of Music in Boston, but couldn't afford to continue. His parents had refused to fund his education if he chose to major in music. Instead, he moved to New York and took odd jobs and gigs until he eventually went back to school, majoring in business with a minor in music. He told me he met his ex-girlfriend Olivia a few years after he moved there. They lived together for a couple of years and stayed friends even after he broke up with her. She'd been his only serious girlfriend before Jade. He said Jade believes that the ex wants to get back with him, even though Olivia's with someone else now. In between those two relationships, he'd slept around with his fair share of women. I appreciated his being candid with me, but it still hurt to hear that. I told him stories about my time at UNH and how I chose to major in education because it felt like a solid choice, not because it was something I was passionate about. I admitted that even though I enjoyed teaching, it felt like there was something missing, something else I was supposed to be doing with my life that I hadn't figured out yet. Amped up on the coffee, we had literally talked through the night. I was still wearing the black dress from my date. At one point, I went upstairs to use the bathroom. When I came back down to the kitchen, he was sitting on a stool by the window, tooling around with his guitar. The sun was starting to rise over the ocean. His back was facing me as he started playing Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. I leaned against the doorway, listening to his soothing voice. The more I paid attention to the lyrics, the more they seemed metaphorical. The past decade had been like a long season of darkness and regret when it came to Justin and me. This reconnection was really like the sun coming up again for the first time in a long time. Of course, he'd probably just chosen to sing it because the sun was literally rising. Still, I couldn't help where my mind traveled, especially on no sleep. Stop falling in love with him again, Amelia. How exactly was I supposed to change how I felt? I couldn't. I just needed to learn to accept that Justin was with Jade. He was happy. I needed to somehow figure out how to be his friend again without getting hurt in the process. When the song finished, he turned around and saw that I'd been watching him. I walked over to where he was sitting and gazed out. The sunrise is beautiful today, isn't it?
Really beautiful, he agreed. Except he wasn't looking at the sun at all.
Chapter 8 Jade was arriving tomorrow, and that was making me feel very much on edge. I needed to talk to someone, so I coerced my friend and co-worker, Tracy, to come for a visit to the island. She met me for lunch at the Brick Alley Pub in town. I hadn't seen Tracy since right after the school year ended. With her kids' busy summer schedules, she hadn't been able to break away until now. The first half of our lunch date was spent over nachos, giving her the full backstory of my history with Justin and rehashing what had happened at the beach house up until now. "God, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes," she said. "What are you going to do?" "What can I do?" "You could tell him how you feel about him." "He's with Jade, and she's a really good person. I can't try to make a play for him right under her nose, if that's what you mean. I won't do that." "But he obviously wants you."
"I wouldn't say that."
"Come on. The song he dedicated to you?"
"Sure. He didn't know you heard it, but clearly he's got lingering feelings."
"Lingering feelings are one thing. Acting on them is totally another. He's not going to leave his gorgeous, talented Broadway star girlfriend, who'd been there for him when I wasn't, just because some old feelings were rekindled. Jade's a great girl."
"But she's not you."
He's always wanted you. You're the one that got away.
I'm the one that ran away. He won't forget that. He might learn to forgive me, but I don't know that he'll ever fully trust me. It's not fair of me to expect him to.
You're being too hard on yourself. You were a kid.
Tracy took a bite of her corn chip and spoke with her mouth full.
You said you're not selling the house, right?
No, we agreed to keep it. That's what Nana would want.
Then whether he stays with Jade or not, this house is going to bind the two of you forever.
Do you really want to spend every summer for the rest of your life watching the man you love moving on with other women? My heart felt like it was breaking in two. Flashes of many summers turning into winters ran through my mind on fast forward. The idea of that sounded daunting. Year after year of unrequited love for someone I couldn't have was not something I wanted to endure.
You're not helping my dilemma. I was hoping you'd talk some sense into me, help me realize that I need help to accept the way things are and move on.
But that's not really what you want, is it?
No. No, it isn't.
Tonight was my night off. I didn't know whether to be disappointed or relieved that I'd be missing Justin play. We'd kept our distance since the all-nighter. It was for the best, since things were teetering on inappropriate that night. At least in my head they were. Tracy decided to stick around and spend the night at the beach house. With Justin out of the house, she had the bright idea that we should buy some liquor and have a girls' night in. We arrived at the house with a paper bag full of tequila, limes, and coarse salt. My stomach dropped when I spotted Justin's car in the driveway. He was supposed to be working. What was he doing home?
Shit, Justin's home.
I thought he was working, she said.
Me too.
Justin was nowhere to be found when we walked in the door. I dropped the bag on the kitchen counter and went to show Tracy the upper deck. That's where we found Justin sitting, smoking a cigar with his legs up on the balcony as he looked out toward the water. His hair was wet, like he'd just taken a dip in the ocean. He was shirtless. The top of his boxer briefs was sticking out of his jeans. He looked like a freaking Calvin Klein ad. Tracy's mouth practically hit the floor when she got a look at him.
What are you doing here? I thought you were playing at the restaurant.
Smoke billowed out of his mouth. I was supposed to be, but the place almost burned down.
What?
There was a kitchen fire this afternoon. When I showed up, they told me they had to close to air out the entire restaurant. They won't be reopening for another week at least. It doesn't look like I'll get to play there again before I leave.
Holy shit! Did anyone get hurt?
No, but Salvatore was a fucking wreck. He glanced over at Tracy.
Who's this?
This is Tracy, a good friend from Providence and a teacher at my school. She came down to spend the day with me. She's going to sleep over tonight. Justin placed his baseball cap over his head backwards and stood up.
Nice to meet you, he said, offering her his hand.
Likewise, she said, taking it. I shook my head in disbelief, not only about the blaze, but the fact that Justin was probably leaving with Jade sooner than I thought.
Wow, I can't believe that about the fire.
I wasn't really in the mood to perform tonight, but I would never have wished that shit on Sal.
Gosh, I wonder if I'll even be working there myself again before the end of the summer.
He took another puff of the cigar and flicked the ashes. There was something so sexy about that.
What are you ladies up to tonight?
We were going to have some drinks and have a girls' night in.
That sounds like a hot mess.
Tracy laughed. It's not every night that I get away from my kids, so a girls' night in is about as wild as it gets for me. Justin winked.
Well, I'll stay out of your way then.
You don't have to, Tracy said. You should join us for a drink.
That's all right. I'll pass.
When we returned downstairs,
Tracy went to use the bathroom. I was cutting up limes when Justin came down and spotted the gigantic bottle of tequila on the counter.
Jesus Christ, enough tequila?
It was her idea. I've never done tequila shots before. He squinted his eyes.
You've never done a tequila shot?
Nope.
Damn, Patch.
What,
did they not know how to live it up in New Hampshire?
I never really drank at all until about a year ago. Actually, I've never drank more than I have this summer. He flashed an impish grin.
Can I take responsibility for that?
Maybe, I laughed. Our attention turned to Tracy as she came back down the stairs. I'm so sorry, Amelia, but Todd just called and said that Ava is sick and throwing up. He really needs me to head back home to Warwick.
Are you serious? I'm so sorry to hear that.
I guess you two will just have to enjoy the tequila without me. I'm just glad Todd called before I started drinking and couldn't drive myself home.
Do you need anything for the road? I asked.
A bottle of water or something? No, I'm good. Tracy pulled me into a hug and said, I'll see you back at school in a few weeks anyway.
Thanks for coming down, Trace.
I had a great time. It was nice meeting you, Justin. Justin offered a silent wave before I walked her to the door. With Tracy gone, the mood shifted from light to extremely tense. When I turned around, Justin was leaning against the kitchen counter with his arms crossed. This was exactly what I had been trying to avoid. Part of why I encouraged Tracy to spend the night was to avoid being alone with him. Tonight was likely the very last time we would be alone before he returned to New York. I slowly walked toward where he was standing. Justin smirked.
What are we going to do with all this tequila?
Shrugging my shoulders, I said, I don't know.
I think we should drink it.
I don't know how to do tequila shots. Tracy was going to show me.
Simple. Lick, slam, suck.
Excuse me?
It's a three-step process. You wet your hand, lick the salt off, slam the drink down, and then you suck the lime. Lick, slam, suck. I'll show you how to do it.
Hearing him say the words, lick, slam, suck, made my body prickle. Just then, my phone vibrated against the counter. It was right next to Justin. His expression darkened after he glanced down at the screen. He lifted the phone and muttered,
real fucking nice, before handing it to me. All of the blood in my body seemed to rush to my head when I read the text from Tracy.
Justin totally wants you. You should fuck him hard tonight.
His stare was piercing when I looked up.
Racking my brain for a response, I let out a fake laugh. She's a jokester. She likes to bust balls. I'm sorry.
He didn't say anything, just stared at me with an uncomfortable intensity.
Shit. Thanks a lot, Tracy. My heart was beating frantically. Justin was quiet for the longest time, then just simply said,
I really need that fucking drink.
Breathing out a sigh of relief, I said, me too. He examined the bottle.
Did you pick out this tequila?
Good. He was letting it go.
Yes? This brand sucks. It's cheap.
I told you, I don't know anything about tequila.
Actually, it's not the worst thing in the world, because we'll chug it down so fast, you won't even taste it. If it were the expensive stuff, then that would be a waste.
Justin opened the small container of salt, grabbed two shot glasses from the cabinet, and placed them down on the granite before sliding one of them over to me. Lifting his hand, he spread his thumb and his index finger open and pointed to the space between them.
Put your hands like this, and do what I do.
He then licked the space between his fingers. God, that one swipe of his tongue was so erotic. He made it easy to see what that mouth could do in other ways. Jade was a lucky woman. Justin watched every movement of my tongue as I did the same. He then sprinkled some salt between his fingers and mine.
"You're gonna lick the salt off real fast before drinking the tequila down in one shot. Don't stop. Drink it all down. Then grab a lime and suck."
Holy hell, hearing the demanding tone of the words lick and suck come out of his mouth, it was almost too much.
"Ready? We'll do it together. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Following his lead, I licked my hand and slammed the liquid down, the tequila burning my throat. I'd forgotten to grab a lime. Justin took one and placed it in my mouth.
"Quick, suck on this. It will diffuse the taste."
I sucked the juice out, savoring the acidic flavor. My lips were touching his fingers as he held it. He was watching intently as I sucked on it. I wished I could have swallowed his fingers whole. When he took the lime away, I licked my lips. God, that was strong. What do we do now? Another one?
"Easy, drunk ass. We should wait a bit. You're a lightweight."
We spaced out our shots, each one packing a bigger punch than the last. When I lost my balance a little, Justin said,
"All right, that's it. I'm cutting you off."
I watched as he did two more shots. After several minutes, his eyes were starting to look glazed over. We were both pretty drunk. The room swayed as I made my way over to the couch and closed my eyes. I felt a heavy weight as Justin plopped down on the cushion next to me. He lay his head back and closed his eyes, too. He'd taken off his hat, and his hair was disheveled. The recessed lighting in the living room was shining atop his head, bringing out the natural blonde streaks. After staring at him for a while, the need to run my fingers through that silky hair became unbearable. I reached my hand over and started to rake my fingers slowly through it. I knew it was wrong, but I'd somehow convinced myself that it was an innocent gesture between friends, like we used to do. Deep down, I knew I was kidding myself. The alcohol had clouded my inhibitions and given me the courage to do something I'd been wanting to for so long. He let out a long, shaky breath, but kept his eyes closed as my fingers continued to massage through his hair. At first, he looked like he was in ecstasy, so I didn't stop. After about a minute, though, his breathing became heavier, and he started to fidget. He shocked me when he suddenly opened his eyes and turned to me.
"What the fuck are you doing, Amelia?"
I retracted my hand. My heart started to pound as I attempted to come up with an excuse. "I'm sorry. I got carried away."
"I see. Blame it on the alcohol?" he scoffed.
He got up and walked to the other side of the room and pulled on his hair in frustration as he paced. Then he did the most bizarre thing. He dropped to the floor and started doing push-ups in speedy succession. Trying to fight the tears of humiliation that were stinging my eyes, I watched as he kept with the exercises for several minutes. He was panting and exhausted by the time he collapsed onto his back. He finally sat up, bowing his head toward the floor as he looked deep in thought. Sweat was pouring off his back. Deciding that I'd already done enough damage for one night, I got up and started to go upstairs. His voice stopped me.
"Don't go."
Turning around at the foot of the stairs, I said, "I think I really need to just go to sleep."
"Come here,"
he said quietly. When I returned to my seat on the couch, his voice was more demanding.
"I said, come here."
He pointed to the floor next to him. As Justin sat with his arms wrapped around his shins, I planted myself on the ground beside him, still too ashamed to look him in the eyes. He turned his back toward me.
"You asked me what this tattoo on my back meant."
Look at the numbers in three sets of four under the barcode. They just seemed like random numerals in no particular order. Three sets of four. What did they mean? The first set finally came to me. 1221. That's December 21st, your birthday. He nodded.
Yeah.
The next set was 0323. What's that one?
March 23rd, 2001, he said.
What's the significance of that date?
You don't know?
No.
That was the day we met.
How on earth do you remember the exact date?
I just never forgot.
I looked at the next set of digits. 0726. Now that was a date I could never forget. July 26th was the date I left Providence in 2006. I stared off for a bit before saying, "The barcode represents your birth and the beginning and end of our relationship."
Yeah. Defining moments of my life.
When did you get this tattoo?
The night I got it, I was in Boston finishing my first and last semester at Berklee College of Music. I knew I wasn't going to be returning, because I couldn't afford it. I was depressed and sad, and missing you like hell that night. But I'd refused to speak to you when you tried to contact me the year before, and I wasn't going to budge. I was young and stubborn. I wanted to make you pay for running away. The only way I knew how to achieve that was to do to you what you did to me. Disappear. I found a tattoo place near school and had this inked on me. It represented letting you go, once and for all.
Did it do the trick?
You know, after that day, I really followed through with my vow to move on. And every year, it did get easier to forget everything, especially after I moved to New York. Days and weeks would go by without thinking about you. I thought I'd put you in the past, where you belonged. Until you couldn't avoid me anymore. He nodded. Coming here, I had no idea what to expect. When I laid eyes on you that first day in the kitchen, I quickly realized that all of the feelings hadn't really gone away at all. I'd just been suppressing them. Seeing you again as a grown woman, it was jarring. I didn't know how to handle it.
Besides being mean?
At first, I was still so fucking angry at you. I wanted you to be a bitch to me, so that at least the anger would be justified. But instead, you were sweet and full of regret. The object of my anger has slowly been shifting from you to myself, for wasting all those years in bitterness. So you know what this tattoo represents to me now?
He paused.
Fucking stupidity.
I was the stupid one forever leaving you.
Let me finish. I've got to get this out tonight.
All right.
The next thing that came out of his mouth was totally unexpected. We need to talk about our attraction to each other, Amelia.
I swallowed. Okay.
That text from your friend. She was right. I want to fuck you so badly right now that I'm practically shaking. My conscience is the only thing stopping me. It's wrong and so messed up.
My body was in flux upon his admission, unsure of whether to feel turned on or sick to my stomach.
He continued. Ever since that day I caught you watching me in my room, I haven't been able to get you out of my head.
I shouldn't have done that.
No, you shouldn't have. But the thing is, I couldn't even be mad at you, because you watching me jerk off was just about the hottest fucking thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow. I didn't think he felt that way about it. I figured you thought I was perverted.
I would have done the same thing if I walked by your room and saw you touching yourself.
You have a beautiful body, Justin.
It was hard to look away. What were you thinking about?
What do you mean?
When you were watching me, what were you thinking about?
Since he was being so honest with me, I decided to tell him the absolute truth. I was imagining that I was with you.
His breath hitched, and he turned away for a moment before making eye contact. Have you always been as attracted to me as you are now?
Yes, but even more so now. I know it's wrong, Justin.
Right or wrong, we can't help who we're attracted to. I don't want to want you like this. Just sitting next to you right now is hard for me. But wanting someone and acting on it are two different things. That's why when you were touching my hair, I had to stop it.
I really wasn't trying to sleep with you. I just missed touching your hair. That's all. It was selfish.
Believe me, I understand. I'm not innocent in all of this. I've looked for excuses to touch you, too.
But I have a girlfriend. We have a good life in New York. There's no excuse.
I'm starting to feel like my father. Totally out of control with no concern for anyone else.
You're not your father.
My mother was just as bad.
Well, you're not your parents.
I don't want to hurt you either, Patch. I'm so fucking confused. The situation with sharing the house makes things very awkward.
He closed his eyes for a long moment before continuing.
Maybe we should work out an arrangement next year.
Arrangement?
Yeah, like maybe we alternate months, so that we don't have to be here at the same time.
It felt like he was punching me in the heart. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Let me get this straight. You can't trust yourself around me, so you don't want to physically see me ever again?
That's not it.
Then why else would you not want to be around me?
He raised his voice, his tone bordering on angry. Do you really enjoy hearing me and Jade fucking?
No, but...
Well, I don't want to hear you fucking anyone either. I'm just trying to protect both of us here.
My blood was boiling. So you'd rather just not see me at all?
I didn't say that. But coming up with a schedule is something we should at least consider. I think that would be a smart option.
The words were flying out of my mouth. As hard as this has been for me, I've never once considered that. That's the difference between us. I would deal with any amount of discomfort that it took in order to have you in my life. I would never choose any option that involved pretending you didn't exist. I would take any fragment of you than nothing at all. Clearly, you don't feel the same about me. So you know what? Now that I know that, I'm perfectly good with a schedule.
Hot tears streamed down my cheeks. Fuck, Patch. Don't cry.
I held out my hand as I stood up. Please, don't call me that name ever again.
He buried his face in his hands and yelled into them. Fuck.
I stormed into the kitchen and opened the bottle of tequila, pouring myself another shot. I didn't bother with the salt or lime, and instead just drank it straight.
Justin grabbed the bottle before I could pour another. You're going to make yourself sick.
That would be none of your concern.
The door clicked open at that very moment.
Both of our heads turned toward it simultaneously. His face turned practically white before he flashed the fakest smile and said,
Jade!
She ran toward him so fast before wrapping her arms around him. I couldn't wait till tomorrow. I missed you so much.
She planted her lips on his, and his body stiffened.
You could tell he was uncomfortable kissing her in front of me, after what went down tonight. She pulled away from him. You smell like tequila.
Yeah. Her friend was here and brought it.
Glad to see you two are still speaking to each other.
She looked over at me, then approached to give me a hug and said,
I've missed you too, Amelia. Guilt was building within me with each second that her skinny frame pressed into me.
"I'm so glad you're back,"
I lied. She took a look at my face.
"Your eyes look red. Are you okay?"
"Yes. I just drank too much. I'm not used to it."
"Tequila is rough,"
she laughed, looking over at the bottle. "Especially cheap crap like that." Jade spent the next several minutes filling me in on all of the theater gossip from Broadway, while Justin and I stole awkward glances at each other. When she finished rambling, I decided I needed to excuse myself.
"Well, I'm exhausted. I'm gonna head upstairs. I hope we don't disturb you too much tonight."
She winked and looked over at Justin.
"It's been a while."
He looked stoic and extremely uncomfortable. "Don't worry about me. Go to town," I bit out. Upstairs in my room, I covered my ears with a pillow to mask the sound of his bed shaking. Listening to them having sex was painful beyond belief, but it didn't compare to the emptiness I was feeling over the conversation Justin and I had. My stomach was aching. I suddenly felt violently ill. Running to the bathroom, I swore that I would never drink tequila again for as long as I lived, not only because it made me sick to my stomach, but because it would always remind me of this miserable night. Chapter 9. 2 days later, and I was still sick. Did hangovers even last this long? I had barely come out of my room. Justin and Jade were preparing to leave the summer house and head back to the city for good. I could hear them slowly packing up their stuff. It was still unclear exactly when they were taking off. Still so incredibly angry at his suggestion that we schedule our stays at the house next summer, I had no desire to face him, or even say goodbye. He hadn't bothered to come check on me either. When Jade would peek her head in, I would thank her but tell her to stay away from me so that she didn't get sick for her return to Broadway. I preferred the idea of not having to talk to them at all again before they left, but I was starting to realize that I really needed to leave my room long enough to pay a visit to the doctor. Today must have been my lucky day, because they'd left the house together just long enough for me to wash up and sneak out without having to face them. When I arrived at the clinic, they made me wait about a half hour before being seen. I couldn't risk going to the emergency room at Newport Hospital, because the last thing I needed was to end up getting seen by Will Danger. So I drove out of the way to find this small walk-in facility. A nurse finally called me.
"Amelia?"
I followed her down the winding hallways into a cold, small examination room where she had me wait for another 20 minutes. When the doctor finally showed, I explained all of my symptoms. Nausea, vomiting, fatigue. I told her I'd been feeling sick on and off all summer, and admitted to drinking a lot a couple of days prior. But they ruled out alcohol poisoning. I also mentioned Justin's illness, in case it was somehow related to that. When I admitted to not having seen a doctor in over 2 years, she insisted on running some tests, just to be sure that everything was okay with me. She sent me down to the lab, where a phlebotomist drew blood from my arm. I also peed in a cup. This was turning out to be too complicated. The blood test results would be back in a few days. I was just about to leave the office when the doctor caught me out in the reception area.
"Miss Payne?"
"Yes?" "Can you come back into my office for a moment, please?" My heart was racing. Something didn't seem right about this scenario. They told me they would call me. What did she need to see me about all of a sudden? "As you know, the lab downstairs took your blood, and those results won't be in for a bit. But testing your urine sample is a much quicker process. You had indicated that you weren't sexually active, but it turns out you're pregnant."
"That's not possible."
"I'm afraid it is. I've even had my period.
That could have been spotting or some intermittent bleeding that wasn't menstruation. You mentioned that you'd been drinking a lot lately. Is it possible that you had sexual relations that you are unaware of?
Absolutely not.
Racking my brain, I thought back to the last time I had sex. It was with Adam a few months ago, the night we broke up. We'd always used condoms, so it seemed impossible.
Are you sure?
These tests are quite accurate, yes.
Can you run it again?
I'll tell you what. There's an OBGYN office in this building. If they can squeeze you in, I'll see if they would be willing to do a quick sonogram. I can't guarantee that they will have the availability, but I'll call them. Why don't you wait in the reception area?
It seemed like they'd made me wait forever. I was certain that this was all a mistake, and thus a huge waste of time.
The doctor peeked her head into the waiting area.
Miss Payne? Good news. They'll take you right now.
Just take the elevator back down to the first floor and look for Reed Obstetrics. Ask for Doris. She's the ultrasound technician. Our office already passed along all of your insurance information.
Thank you.
When I got to the office downstairs, a girl about my age, wearing scrubs with Mickey Mouse heads all over the shirt, was waiting for me, smiling.
Amelia?
Yes.
Hi. Come right this way.
Doris took me into a dark room. It was much warmer than the cold examination office upstairs, and there was soft music playing on the radio.
First off, congratulations.
She had a slight Spanish accent.
Oh, I'm not pregnant. I have a virus. This is just to confirm that they made a mistake with the urine test.
She looked amused. Those tests are very accurate.
They usually are, but not in this case, I said matter-of-factly.
Ignoring my comment, she pointed to my shirt.
Can you lift this for me? I'm just gonna put some warm gel on your belly.
The tube made a weird squirting sound when she squeezed the clear gel onto my stomach. She touched the nozzle to my abdomen and pressed down a bit. A fuzzy white image appeared on the screen, and within seconds, I saw it. Not just a blob, but a huge head and arms. It was moving and looked gigantic.
Amelia, I present to you your virus. As you can see, it has a heart that's beating right here, and it looks like all the parts are where they should be. You are most definitely carrying a child.
It felt like the room was spinning. How can this be?
I'm sure you can figure it out if you think hard enough. You look to be about 12 weeks along, which would put your due date somewhere at the end of March.
3 months ago. Almost exactly the last time I was with Adam.
Adam, who cheated on me.
Adam, who was living in Boston with Ashlyn. Adam, who I hated. That Adam. I was carrying Adam's baby.
The technician went on.
Unfortunately, it's a little too early to tell the sex. But we can make you another appointment if you want for your 18-week visit.
And we should be able to determine the gender then.
You'll see the doctor next time first, though.
I'll probably see a doctor out in Providence, where I live most of the year. But thank you.
Dazed and confused, I watched in disbelief as she printed out 3 pictures of my baby and handed them to me. I stared down at the images of the alien creature, and then down at my stomach, which barely looked any different to me. I just looked a little bloated, and had attributed that to stress and drinking.
Oh my God. Drinking? I'd been drinking alcohol and coffee fusion. Was the baby even okay?
Feeling numb, I exited the medical building and sat in my car for several minutes before conjuring up enough energy to drive home. The outside looked different. Grayer. Scarier.
The future seemed completely uncertain. For the first time in months, something other than Justin was consuming my mind. Back home, Justin and Jade were cooking dinner in the kitchen while I lay in my bed, clutching my stomach in disbelief. I'd managed to sneak back into my room before they returned to the house with their groceries, so I still hadn't made contact with them. The sound of Jade's laughing from downstairs was driving me nuts under the circumstances. I was still in shock. It seemed like I was in the middle of a horrible dream. This pregnancy felt impossible to believe. How was I possibly going to raise a child? I could barely take care of myself. My salary wasn't enough to cover the cost of daycare. There were so many things that were up in the air. The sound of the front door slamming interrupted my frantic thought process. Before I could wonder if they'd left, I heard footsteps coming up the stairs and approaching my room. There was a knock at the door. "Who is it?"
"It's me."
The unexpected sound of his low voice made me shiver.
"What do you need?"
"Can I come in?"
I got up and answered the door.
"What?"
He looked tired, like he'd been run ragged.
"You look exhausted. Too much sex?"
I scoffed. Ignoring the question, he said,
"Jade is making guacamole. We're out of limes, so she ran back to the store. It's the first opportunity I've had to talk to you alone. We don't have much time."
"What do you need to say?"
"Why haven't you come out of your room?"
"Isn't that what you wanted? For me to disappear?"
Looking filled with regret, Justin shook his head slowly and whispered,
"No."
"No?"
"No. The schedule idea was asinine. I'm sorry I ever suggested it."
"Well, guess what?"
"What?"
"It's no longer going to be hard for you to resist me. There won't be a dilemma. Because when I tell you what I found out today, you'll never have a single inappropriate thought about me again. You won't want anything to do with me. Your biggest nightmare just became my reality, Justin."
His eyelids were fluttering in an attempt to decipher my words.
"What the fuck are you talking about?"
Bursting into tears, I sat back down on my bed and buried my face in my hands. I was suddenly all too aware of my pregnancy hormones. Justin, who had never seen me cry to this extent, sat down next to me and pulled me into his arms. That only prompted me to sob harder.
"Amelia, talk to me, please."
"I went to see a doctor. It was just supposed to be a routine checkup. I'd been sick, just like you were."
"Did someone hurt you over there?"
Wiping my nose with my sleeve, I cried,
"No, it's nothing like that."
"What then?"
"The doctor ran some tests. One of them was a pregnancy test."
So ashamed, I pulled back to look at his face.
"You're pregnant?"
My voice was practically inaudible.
"Yes."
"How can that be?"
"I'm 3 months along. It's Adam's."
"That asshole didn't use a condom with you?"
"That's the thing. We did use one. I don't know how this happened. Clearly they're not foolproof."
"Is it too late to terminate it?"
"Did you not hear me say I was 3 months along? Yes, it's too late. Even so, I could never go through with an abortion."
Justin got up from the bed and started to pace.
"All right, all right. I'm sorry. I was just thinking out loud, making sure you know what your options are."
"I'm so scared."
Jade's voice called from downstairs.
"Justin, I'm back."
He stopped pacing.
"Shit."
"Please don't tell Jade," I begged. "I don't want anyone to know yet."
"Okay. Of course."
"You'd better go."
He wouldn't move from his spot.
"Amelia."
"Go. Just go. I don't want her to see me crying."
Still looking shocked and confused, Justin quietly slipped out of the room. I spent the rest of that night surfing the internet for information on what to expect in the next 6 months. I had to figure out how I was going to tell Adam. He might not want anything to do with it, but he still needed to know. Justin and Jade were packing up the car. I'd already said my goodbyes to Jade over an early breakfast, but hadn't had a chance to speak to Justin. They would be taking off back to the city any minute. I couldn't believe this day was finally here. It was both dreaded and a relief all at once. Seeing him every day would have been even harder, knowing that without a shadow of a doubt, there was no longer the chance of a future for us. Justin didn't want kids of his own, let alone to raise someone else's. This pregnancy was the final nail in the coffin. Maybe I would take him up on that schedule for next summer. Better yet, maybe I would need to sell him my half of the house. As much as that thought was heartbreaking, I didn't know what kind of financial situation I would be in after the baby came. Standing at my bedroom window, I looked down as they placed suitcases and boxes into the back of the Range Rover. At one point, Justin happened to look up at me. He held up his index finger, as if to tell me to wait for something. Soon after, I noticed that he whispered in Jade's ear. A few seconds later, she took off in the car. The sound of his footsteps soon followed. Then he appeared at my door. Looking morose, he said, "Hi."
"Hi."
"How are you holding up?"
"Not too good."
I asked Jade to go get gas so that I could say goodbye. Find out if there's anything you need before we leave.
No, I'm fine. You need to get back to your life.
I feel bad leaving you like this.
I'll be heading home in a couple of days anyway. The sooner I get back to Providence and prepare for this new reality, the better I will be.
Patch.
Don't call me that name anymore.
Tears sprung to my eyes.
Not because I'm mad at you. It just makes me sad.
My lips trembled. "Okay," he said softly.
"What were you gonna say?"
"If you need anything, anything at all, please call me. Promise me you'll keep me updated on what's happening."
"I will."
"Let me know when I'm allowed to tell Jade."
"Okay. It's not like I can hide it much longer."
His eyes wandered to the bed. Earlier, I'd been looking at the snapshots from the ultrasound and had left them lying out in the open. He walked over and picked them up. He stared at the images and looked mesmerized. "That thing is inside of you? You're hardly showing."
"I know."
He shook his head while examining the photos. "God, this is so strange. I think I'm still in shock."
"You wouldn't be the only one."
He placed the pictures back on the bed and was staring into space, deep in thought. He reached his hand into his pocket and took out the red pocket knife. "I want you to keep it. You need it more than I do. Keep it by your bed at night. It'll make me feel better because I feel fucking helpless right now."
I wasn't going to argue with him.
"Okay." His gaze moved to the window. We could both see that Jade was pulling in. I wiped my eyes.
"You'd better go."
He didn't move. We stared long and hard into each other's eyes until we heard Jade entering the house. Then he slipped away. Part 2. 8 months later. Chapter 10. I felt like I was breaking into someone's property, even though it was half my own. Everything looked the same as we'd left it. The beach house was freezing. The heat needed to be turned on. It was the middle of May, and still fairly cool on the island. I wasn't supposed to return until the end of June, but the house where I rented an apartment got sold, forcing me to leave. That gave me no choice but to head to Newport early. Otherwise, we would have been homeless. I was already on maternity leave through the end of the school year, so it made sense. We'd been unable to find temporary tenants in the off-season here, so the beach house stayed empty. An unexpected feeling of longing overwhelmed me. This place used to remind me of Nana. Now, it reminded me of Justin. I could practically smell his cologne in the kitchen. It was my imagination, but it felt real. I also imagined him standing near the coffee pot, smirking while stirring his coffee fusion. His bare muscled back as he looked out the window toward the ocean. The lick, slam, suck as he drank tequila. Gazing toward the living room, I remembered our awkward final night before Jade returned. Closing my eyes for a moment, I imagined it was last summer, when life was so simple. Then, the little cry coming from the baby carrier strapped to my chest snapped me back to reality. Bia's head wiggled back and forth in search of my breast. "Wait, wait. I have to take you out of this thing first." Removing her from the baby Bjorn, I babbled, "You were so good during the ride. You must be starving, huh?" Shit. Most of my stuff was still in the car. I carried my 2-month-old daughter outside to retrieve the breastfeeding pillow from my back seat. Tracy had bought it for me, insisting it was the one item I needed the most. And she was right. It was bright pink with white daisies, and an absolute necessity in order to feed this constantly hungry baby without breaking my back. I stopped for a moment to admire the ocean before returning inside. Bia was short for Beatrice. She was named after my grandmother. My baby girl was born in mid-March, 1 week before her due date. Adam chose not to be there. He said he wanted proof that the baby was his, and until then, he wasn't going to acknowledge her as his daughter. Because we'd used condoms, he assumed that it was unlikely that he could be the father. He was the only person I'd slept with before getting pregnant, but there was simply no way to prove that to him if he didn't take my word for it. I didn't want the stress of having to get Bia's blood drawn right now, and he was in no hurry to be there for us, so I chose to put off dealing with him. His bitch, Ashlyn, was surely working this situation behind the scenes, and I was sure she was telling him that I was a liar. With much bigger fish to fry, I didn't need that shit right now. Life was too stressful as it was. When Bia finished feeding, she fell asleep again. I slowly pulled her off of my breast and placed her in the infant seat. I used the rare break to head back outside and retrieve the rest of our items. Most of my stuff was in storage back in Providence, but I did bring all of our clothes and Bia's bassinet. I would have to purchase a crib and figure out how to assemble it. A man with dark curls, who looked to be in his early 30s, approached me. His big brown eyes beamed.
"Hey, neighbor. I saw your car. I was wondering when I'd get to meet the occupants of this gorgeous home."
I pointed to the house just to the right of mine. "You live in that one, right there."
"Yes.
Moved in back in the fall." "I'm one of the rare year-round folks, apparently."
"Well, you've met Cherry, right? She's also year-round."
"Yep, but I think that's about it."
Laughing, I said, "You're probably right." He held out his hand.
"Roger Manning."
"Nice to meet you. Amelia Payne."
"I see you have baby stuff in here.
Do you have kids?"
"Oh, just one. My daughter was born in March. She's inside sleeping."
"I have a daughter, too. She's 7 and lives with her mother in California.
You must miss her.
You have no idea. I work for the Navy, so I've been stationed out here for a while. After her mom and I got divorced, my ex wanted to move back west to be closer to her family.
I see.
Will I get to meet your husband?